Good morning, GCOS Radio. Today on the show, we are joined by Todd Thomas Sr. and Artie Martin from Six Nations Investigating Paranormal Encounters, and they are here to talk about their upcoming moonlit paddle happening tomorrow night. The paddle will consist of participants paddling down the Grand River and then actually touring the house of famous Six Nations poet Pauline Johnson at Chiefswood Park. So thank you both for doing this today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's fun.
I guess we can start by how long has the Snipe team been investigating paranormal encounters in the community?
I would like to hand this over to Todd.
Okay.
So thanks for having us on here.
Yeah.
And Todd would be the best one to talk about this because he's the founder of the group.
Well, personally, me and my twin brother Trevor, we've been hunting ghosts since we were about eight years old. We used to go into the abandoned houses on the reserve here. We'd ride our bike along with our other cousin, Richard Damon, and his older brother Darren used to join us. We used to go into these houses and we looked for ghosts probably 20, 30 years ago. So.
And they had a name back then too, Devils, Dogs, Demons, right?
Yeah, we named ourselves the Devils, Dogs, Demons. We were the original, the OG of ghost hunters.
Okay, perfect. And so how did you guys get involved in these type of investigations? And I guess what was the motivation to create the team?
Well, for the team itself, it's just a few guys with like-minded interests and passion, I would say, getting together and talking about ghosts. I've always, my whole life, along with our culture, ghost hunting, I should say spirit, is something that, is never far from our thoughts. And, with our ceremonies, we've always gotten I think everybody had their grandmother that would scare them, try and say, don't be doing this at night, or this is going to get you, that always resonated, with me.
Yeah.
And stuck with me. And I remember my older brothers too, we were out, in the middle of the night, we'd boil sap and we'd be out in the middle of our sugar shack and, they'd be telling us ghost story after ghost story. And then we'd have to go out in the dark and get firewood, So it was something that has always been with me. And I think a few of us have found each other and along with my kids. And, we continue to do this.
And I think that's part of it, too. It's ingrained in who we are, mm-hmm. A lot of our ceremonial aspects have to do with spirit. And it's harvest time now. Giving thanks to those things, it's all spirit and connection to that world,
And talking about the connection and you guys operating here on Six Nations, have you guys been able to maybe experience some of those local legends or folklore that in the community? And could you share anything on that?
Myself, actually, my sister used to wake me up in the middle of the night. She could see things when we were kids. And, I'd have to sleep on her floor because she was seeing these things in our hallway, and it made me angry because I was like, well, how come I can't see these? And she could, so I've been on that search ever since. And then finally I was able to actually witness my first apparition was actually the woman in black in Chiefswood Mansion. So.
And then switching gears a little bit to the Moonlit Paddle, it's actually the last paddle of the year. And can you talk about just the previous ones this year? And have you guys been able to see a lot of interest from the community?
Well, we started back in the beginning of summer, our season starts. And we were full every paddle. We sold out every paddle. Everyone that came through has come through from all over the place, Toronto, over the years, people have come from all over the world to these paddles. Some that stand out is this one elderly lady from Africa, and she was talking about, when we were sharing our legends and stuff that we have on Six Nations, that resonated with her so much that she got emotional about it because she had forgot all those things that she was taught because a lot of the legends in her community in Africa were similar to ours. And I find throughout all these paddles we've been doing and meeting these people, we're all connected in that aspect. We're really similar.
Yeah, she was a really nice person. She was visiting family in Toronto and looked up what to do, and she came out by herself. She drove out from Toronto, and yeah, she was in from South Africa.
That's awesome.
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
And how long have you guys been doing the Moonlit Paddle?
2015.
We had to, of course, everybody had the COVID break, but we just started back. This is our first season back from COVID.
And obviously, the paddle happens overnight. How does that add to the experience? And would you say that there's like an ideal time where more paranormal activity is happening?
You know, honestly, it's not really the time, but what we try to do is we do the paddles on the moons.
Yeah.
And first off, when we get out on the river, because we start, you know, we shuttle up. We start from the house and we shuttle up to Onondaga there and we drop in. And we've had a few mediums with us along the river in the raft itself and have seen stuff along the river. And they, you know, it's really, because you have to figure the river itself was one of the first highways, you know, transportation. A lot of things happen in there, and we share that when we paddle down. And we also encourage whoever's in the raft with us to share stories that they've experienced as well. So then we get back to the house and we go into the house itself. And honestly, I think it's the moon itself that really, we've had some really good evidence caught, experienced by the whole group inside the house during a full moon. It's absolutely amazing.
And can you talk about what those experiences are that you guys have been able to catch, I guess?
We've heard knocks, you know, like one particular night, we were all spread out upstairs and we were calling out and doing our normal portal sessions. And all of a sudden on the front door, there was a loud bang, like something was knocking. And we've never experienced that before. There were security cameras, obviously, around the perimeter. And we, Artie and I, took off running out there to see who it was, if, you know, somebody was joking around with us. And we're about 90% sure that's paranormal.
Yeah, it was hard, though, because, like, there was a security guy, too. He was sitting in his vehicle, and he could see what was going on. He never seen nobody. And at the river side of the house, there's a drop, like, a hill there with a bunch of poison ivy. So if someone was going through there, you know, it kind of be ridiculous.
Can you talk about having the House of Pauline Johnson a part of your tour and just how that has been able to add to it?
I think we're kind of fortunate. We're really fortunate, actually, because we've been able to, like form good relationships with the directors that have come and gone through the house there. And it started with Heather George, and it just progressed, and each director, you know, they've been good to us, and we've been trying to, you know, stay on par with that and give everyone a good experience. And the house itself, like, we go in there sometimes and we let the spirit know, you know, we're there. And it seems like they've been good to us too. Mm.
Very peaceful. Like, if you've been inside the house during the day, it's so quiet and amazing, but you turn out the lights and it goes dark. It's so, you know, that peacefulness continues. Yeah. We do get a lot of activity, but we show a lot of respect as well to spirit and the house. I personally, I love the house. You get inside there, it's absolutely amazing. And then we get activity, our gadgets start going off, EMF starts rocketing, and I feel it's them, because they've always, you know, you read their memoirs of Evelyn, and she always talks about them entertaining guests and showing, you know, like, there's even part in her memoirs that Alexander Graham Bell would dine there and they would have dinner parties. And we feel that they're still doing that. They like to welcome us. And, you know, as long as we show respect, we never do anything weird. We never do any, you know,
Provoking
or anything like that. I always forget that word. I don't know why. Artie's like always finishing that sentence for me. But yeah, we don't do provoking. You know, it's just something we show a lot of respect, and we ask them if they want to talk to us. And we ask everybody who joins us to do that as well.
And what type of instruments or tools do you guys use when you're coming into the site?
We actually use a lot of EMF detectors and different forms of it. Some of them have alarms or lights that light up when something goes near. And if we set up a gadget in the middle of the room and for 4 hours it does nothing, And then when we're calling out and all of a sudden it starts going off, EMF, you know, we shut our phones off or put them in airplane mode so we don't have that interference. We have no walkie-talkies or anything like that. And the only thing that sets it off is the EMF. And how come for 4 or 5 hours it's sitting there doing nothing and all of a sudden it goes off? Again, we also have motion sensors. And then we use gadgets where we can communicate through white noise and radio frequencies as well. That's pretty cool because it's a lifetime response. And to your question, and we're asking, you know, we're asking questions where it's more than yes or no. It's, you know, how many spirits are here? And all of a sudden you get a 7 or a number. Somebody says a number, or you say hello and it says hello back, you know?
Yeah, and with the REM pod too, he was mentioning that the EMF detectors, I had a hard time with them at the beginning because I was like, what is this? You know,
yeah.
What is this nonsense? But it is really hard to explain when they aren't going off and then you have an investigator going over there saying, can you put the light to, like there's 4 lights on there, like red, green, blue, and yellow. Can you make the green light go off? Can you make the yellow light? Then each one consecutively is going off according to what the investigator is asking. So that's, you know, I don't know how to talk about that. Like, we're all skeptical, and maybe me more so, but I've seen some things I just can't provide answers for.
And that was one of my questions. How do you guys deal with people who might be skeptical of the work that you do and need some convincing for that evidence?
Well, first off, we welcome them. You know, we are skeptical as well. And if you are 100% skeptical, saying shooting down everything we do, come and join us. You know, let's see it together,
mm-hmm.
and then tell us what you feel. Even with we scrutinize anything we put out there as evidence. We say, you know, we're not telling you this is a ghost. What we're telling you is we can't explain this. What are your thoughts? And you know, we're open to scrutiny, and you know,
yeah, like I work with audio and video professionally. So when I approach something, like I have that mindset, and like there's a reason these things happen. But like I was saying, you can't give that reason sometimes. And then it begs the question, like, well, what is it? There has to be some kind of logical explanation. I can't say that word. Because like, is it really dead people? Is it spirit? Like, or is it something else that humanity just hasn't come across yet, you know?
Can you talk about like the feedback that you guys have been able to receive? I know you guys talked about the woman from South Africa, but can you talk about, has there been any cases where people have gotten like hooked on the ghost hunting and maybe like it's sort of like a ripple effect? Like once they get a taste, they just have to come back for more and more.
I think, you know, with something like that, where after we've done a paddle, we've gotten some emails, you know, stating, you know, this is a crazy experience. I've never felt this before. I loved it. You know, I think it's because we don't put anything out there that, or we don't put them in a situation that they're going to be alone in the house or scared or anything like that. We kind of all experience it together. And I think it's a unique experience that, you know, they sit on their couches at home and they watch these ghost shows and then all of a sudden, bang, they're in there. They're in there in a haunted location in the dark with ghost hunters who know what they're doing. And I think it's the most unique experience that they can, you know, experience. You know what I mean? Like it's amazing.
And you guys touched on the connection with Indigenous storytelling and everything like that. Can you talk about, tell us more about how storytelling has played a significant role in the Indigenous culture, and then why it's important for your group to showcase that type of Indigenous storytelling in your work?
That's what the raft part of what we do is that. I remember when we first started doing the raft, like we had a meeting before the first one and we were talking about canceling it because we did a test run and it's about an hour between Onondaga and Chiefswood. And it was like, how are we going to fill up that hour? What are we going to talk about? There's these doubts, right? But I was like, no. Just break it down into points, categories, and go from there, mm-hmm. and get input from the people with us. And that has, for me, that's what I've been doing, and that has worked well, because I'm it's not just one person telling a story. It's all of us sharing an experience of stories. So, like, it never fails. There's always one person in the room, at least one, with an experience regarding paranormal. Or even just, even if they just want to share something that they experienced in their lives that scared them. So we're sharing these things, and then we collectively come out on top knowing each other and knowing more.
And I guess the last question for both of you, with your experiences investigating all of these encounters and stuff like that, what would you say that your beliefs are when it comes to the existence of paranormal entities, I guess?
For myself, you know, the search, I've always been searching, and it's been a part of my life, my entire life. And I have seen my first apparition in Pauline Johnson's house, the woman in black. A lot of people have seen her. I myself have seen her, you know, and then we're actually filming our show that's seen on APTN. And in season two, I do see another apparition. And but you're gonna have to watch to find out where that one was. But 100%, there's something out there. There's something there that people are seeing, experiencing, feeling, sensing in some way, shape, or form. And that's what we do, is we devote our time to try and catch these things. As to say 100% what they are, I don't know. What we catch on these little tidbits of film that, you know, hours and hours of footage, and all of a sudden we get just a little 2-second something on there. I don't know what these are. And I think that's what continues or fuels our search, is we want to know what these are.
Yeah, and it's not just us that started ghost hunting, you know. I just learned the other day that Thomas Edison, he had a deep fascination with talking to the spirits, and he started working on a machine that he could talk to the dead with. And that's, he actually pioneered EVPs, electronic voice phenomenon, which still continues today. That should be added too, that researchers and distinguished universities departments are actually looking into these things too, and there's medical professionals all throughout the world who have, you know, they're dealing with palliative patients or people dying, and they have these unbelievable stories. And then where I'm at, like, I'm newly traditional. Like, I never grew up in a longhouse or anything, but I have been going lately in my adult years. And, like, ceremony is completely connected to spirit. And if you're not believing, if you don't have that mindset there, and then I don't know if those things will work for you. You know, these ceremonies, because it's a lot to think of traditionally and spiritually. And so we're always trying to, like myself, I'm always trying to find out exactly what these things are, and I just can't explain it. I got hooked because these guys asked me to come out because they know I do film. I came out. We were at a place I'm not allowed to say, and with my equipment, my camera, and I know no one else was there, I saw this, like my camera caught an apparition coming down the stairs, and it was wild. I talk about that every chance I get, because for 5 years we looked at that and just seen this kind of thing floating down the stairs. But then one specific time we're looking at it, in one frame of the video, you totally see a face and the outline of the body. And it's like they kind of, the spirit's looking down the stairs and then happens to look up, looks dead into the camera and says, "I got caught," and then disappears. Mm-hmm. That's what it's like.
I forgot to ask this, but you guys do film everything when you go on the tours, correct? Mm-hmm. Is there any way, do you guys allow for the people who participate in the tours to see that footage or anything like that?
Oh yeah, we do. We record everything. And if there is something substantial that we do catch in any of the recordings or footage, we will share it. As long as you leave your email address, we just email it to you.
Okay. And sometimes the participants see it right away, mm-hmm. because we're doing these sessions, right? And especially the Estes, the sensory depth method, that there, the participant is actually in the moment doing the calling. Like, we're all calling out, but the participant is giving the answers. So everyone can hear it in real time and they're experiencing it in real time. And the sensory depth, in case you don't know what that is, they're, you know, their sensories are deprived. They're blindfolded and they got big earphones, noise canceling earphones on, and they're providing answers for questions that they can't absolutely hear.
I just wanted to say, we do private bookings as well. We do have places that will, you know, say Jukasa, for example, wanted to put something on with
their team group. Building.
Yeah, so they would book a private pedal just with their group. We do that as well, and we did that on the 15th, I think it was, just recently. And one of the fellas there, because we encourage every one of them to record, every one of them to take pictures on their phone or bring cameras if they want.
Okay.
He actually caught this amazing picture at the top of the stairs. And we asked if he could send it to us. He hasn't yet, but we'll keep bugging him for that one because it's pretty unique. But yeah, so we do encourage people to, if you have a recorder, bring it. If you, because everybody has a phone, there is recording apps on there, and take as many pictures as you can, because you take 300 pictures and only one, you get something like, what is this? You know, but it's worth it.
Yeah, that really turns out sometimes. With Pauline Johnson's, like, we're looking at like doing, we can't do the raft in the winter, obviously, but we're looking at maybe doing tours throughout the house in the winter months.
Okay.
Like, keep it going throughout the year. So that's an opportunity there to do investigations.
And so anybody in the community who has, like, any type of experience that they want you guys to investigate, you guys will come out, like...
Yeah. We do private investigations with homeowners, business owners, and absolutely free. We don't charge any money for that. We're after the evidence and experience.
Just to note, though, we are working on a vetting process because we have found throughout the years there are some really crazy people out there, you know, and so we want to try to stay away from those types and just keep it legit. Like, 'cause some people actually do need help and are concerned. But besides all that, too, like, we also are involved in the community a lot. We do a lot of community projects, setting up booths. We're doing the Nightmare Run October 14th. That's like a zombie run, but instead of zombies, nightmares are chasing you, obstacles and stuff like that. Yeah, we're pretty busy for October, so.
Yeah, and Friday the 13th of October, too, we have my cousin Darren Thomas. He's a hypnotist. He's going to be on performing, and we have a medium. He's going to read the crowd, Kevin Whitaker. And then we're going to do some evidence after that. So it's going to be a fun night.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all charity. It's all for charity.
Perfect.
Home and school?
Yeah, home and schools.
And so for anybody looking for more information on you guys, where can they find you?
There are a few spots. We're on social media. Yep. Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. We have a Facebook page. Just search out Snipe or Six Nations Investigating Paranormal Encounters. We also have a website, snipehq.ca.
If you, on Facebook, you can reach out to Chiefswood itself. Whitley there, she's amazing. And Jackie, they do so much for us, and they're awesome people to work with. It's all over Facebook. You can find her there. She'll help you out. She's awesome.
Perfect. Guys, I want to thank you. This was awesome, and best of luck with everything tomorrow, and hopefully it's very successful.